Okay, hello and welcome to the Reborn Fitness Podcast. Welcome to episode number 5. We have our second interview and final interview of series 4 today, and we have our second international guest again. I've gone across the pond, and I'm pleased to announce and welcome to the Reborn Fitness Podcast, Juan Salgado. Juan, welcome.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you for coming on. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's early here, but I like getting an early start.
Nice. So what's the time over in America at the moment?
7:15. I'm in California.
California. Okay, nice. 7:15. Okay. Well, over in the UK here, it's just coming up to 3:15. But no. Well, I think first of all, the floor is yours to tell our listeners a little bit more about who Juan Salgado is.
Yeah. So I'm a business owner, competitive powerlifter. I love reading. I love growing my business. I love growing as a person. I'm always constantly talking about leveling up, becoming a better person, becoming a better version of yourself, how to live in the moment. And yeah, I'm just trying to enjoy life, man.
I love it. And you touched on powerlifting. I find that really fascinating, especially when I first connected with you, because it's probably quite big, but it's still quite a niche sport. Talk to me and tell the listeners a little bit, especially about competitive powerlifting, what's involved and also how you got involved in powerlifting.
Yeah. So the way that I got into powerlifting, first the way that I got into fitness was I was just a really like skinny kid all throughout high school. I played competitive basketball. I played like very, very competitively. Like I played since I was in travel basketball since I was like 8 years old. And one thing that the coaches always told me, and they started telling me more as I got older, is that if I wanted to play at the next level, I would have to build a lot of muscle. Because while I'm only 5'6", so I'm pretty short. Oh, wow, I was fast. I could shoot. I could dribble. But the thing about it is that I was really skinny. I think I only weighed like 125 pounds or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I decided to, after high school, I realized that my dreams of becoming an NBA player were pretty much done. So I started working out. I just wanted to get into like bodybuilding. And I had a friend who had been training for like 4 years. He was the most jacked kid at my school. So I hit him up for advice. And I saw that he competed in powerlifting. And I asked him about that because it just looked really interesting. And he told me about it. And then there was this powerlifting meet that was, it was just a charity event. It wasn't anything competitive, very low stakes. And I decided to do it, and it was just for fun. It was to raise money for cancer. And then I ended up loving it, so I decided to keep doing it. And pretty much what powerlifting is, for those of you who don't know, you lift the squat, bench, and deadlift, and you pretty much have 3 attempts to lift as much weight as you can. And you compete by age and by weight. And then whoever has the biggest total of the 3 ends up being the winner.
Blimey. And what's your strength in powerlifting?
Yeah, so my best squat, my best numbers in competition are a 430 squat, 275 bench, and 530 deadlift. And I did that weighing 163. In the gym, my numbers are just like a little bit, like 10, 15 pounds over that.
Blimey, that's amazing. Damn. And how long can you compete in this? Do it like in age categories, or how does it work when you compete?
Yeah. So you there's ages from, I just competed in nationals like a month ago, and I saw like kids there. It's like, 12-year-old kids. There's like some 12-year-old girl who, I think she pulled like 300 pounds or something like that. It was crazy. Yeah. We got some strong people. And I've even seen people who, just this past week, and I had a client who competed, and there was some 80-year-old lady who, or 76-year-old lady who, she set like the deadlift record. She deadlifted like 275 or something like that. Some lady. So yeah, you can do this for as long as you want.
I love There's that. No so yeah. Is it quite big over there in the States? Is powerlifting quite a big thing over in the States?
It's starting to get there. It just kind of depends on like what state you're in. Okay. Here in California, it has grown a lot in like the last couple of years. Some of the bigger states are like Ohio, Oklahoma, those type of places. Oh, Texas.
Okay.
Those places have a lot of really, really strong lifters.
Oh, okay. I love that. And talk to me about preparing for an event. How many times a year do you compete, and what's the process that goes into preparing for an event? How do you go about doing that?
Yeah, so me personally, I only compete 2 times a year, maybe three. I don't ever recommend that anybody competes more than 3 to 4 times a year. Sorry, I said, yeah, 2 times. I only compete 2 times a year. I never recommend anybody compete more than 4 times, unless, and even 4 times is if you're a really top lifter. So I have some clients who are record breaker or record holder lifters. So sure. They do this very, very competitively. They would probably want to compete a couple more times a year. But the way that I go about preparing for one is about 12 weeks out from a competition, you really start to, and it just depends. It's a little different for everybody. You really just start specializing in the squat, bench, and deadlift. Okay. We still do accessory lifts. So if you do bodybuilding or just general fitness, we're still doing lat pull downs, rows, shoulder presses and stuff like that. Mm. It doesn't really get different from other exercise training methods until maybe 4 weeks out. At four okay. weeks out, we're just going really, really heavy all the time. The workouts are starting to take really long. I've had some workouts that take 3.5 hours. And then the last 4 weeks out, it's hell. Okay. Joints hurt really badly. Yeah. You're tired. You're moody. You're sore all the time. You don't even want to wake up. Just constant fatigue. And the week before the powerlifting meet, that's when we deload.
Okay.
After you deload, you taper, you recover. And then the day of the meet, you go in and you kill it.
I like that. And I bet diet's quite a key thing. Does that play quite a big aspect, what you eat, or not so much? Is it more your preparation in the gym then equals how you perform? Or is it different aspects, sleep, recovery, diet, and that to make a perfect package to really excel in your competition?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that too, just because in powerlifting, you hear so many different things. So the old school powerlifters, the guys from the 90s and stuff like that, or 80s, they are very just eat as much as you can, eat, go up 3 weight classes, gain weight. The more fuel you have, the better you'll perform. Then we kind of started getting a lot of these new school powerlifters who are just diet, lose as much weight, try to get in the lowest weight class that you can. Because if you're in a lower weight class and you can maintain your strength,
right,
you'll be a lot more competitive. You'll be able to win. For me, where I fall in line with that is, yes, nutrition is important. You don't want to just eat whatever. You do want to have a good balance of protein, carbs, fats, and stuff like that. Mm. I also don't – I'm not a huge advocate of dropping weight for weight classes.
Yeah.
Because if you – I feel unless you're going for a record or something big, you're trying to qualify for nationals or worlds, it really just doesn't make any sense. Because then if you try to lose weight, you might not come in fully recovered, especially because, the last couple of weeks, everything is important to make sure that you can go into the training session recovered. Got to get 8 hours of sleep. You got to get your hydration on point. You have to keep your stress levels low too. So if I always tell my clients, I'm like, man, if you have a toxic relationship, the week before the meet, go stay in a hotel or something like that. Sure. Because if your mind is not 100% focused into this competition, you won't go in there fully recovered.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And on competition day, how does it work on competition day? Obviously, you have your 3 areas, your squat, your deadlift, and your bench. How does each one work? Is it a singular rep? Is it 3 reps deadlift? Or talk to me about the process of the competition.
Yeah. So there is strategy that goes involved because if you just go to a powerlifting competition, or if you were to just see it on YouTube, you would just think, oh, it's guys lifting as much weight as possible. But there is a lot of strategy. So it always starts off first with the squat.
Okay.
Then you move on to the bench, and then you move on to the deadlift. So you have 3 attempts at each to try to build your total and lift as much weight as possible. So where a lot of people go wrong is they go into their first attempt and they think, oh, I'm just going to max out as much weight as I can. But at powerlifting meets, there's so many different factors and variables that go into play that it's not just as easy as going in there and probably hitting what you hit in the gym 2 weeks prior. The judges, they look for a lot of different things. They look for depth, that you're going low enough. They make sure that there's commands that they give you. So you can't just lift the bar off and then squat it. You have to wait for the judges to tell you squat. You have to wait for them to tell you to rack the bar. So what you do is you choose something conservative for your first attempt. You choose maybe like 90% of your max.
Okay.
Then depending on how that feels, you make the next smartest jump. You don't want to make a jump that's too big because then you might miss it. And if you miss it, you can't go down in weight. So that's another one of the rules about it. Let's say you squat 300 pounds and then you fail it. You can't say, oh, that was too heavy. Let me go down 275. You have to do the same, or you have to go up. Wow. And if you fail three lifts, you automatically bomb out, which is pretty much you get disqualified from the competition. So yeah, you have three attempts, and that's pretty much the same thing with the bench and the deadlift. They look for certain form cues that you're performing correctly, that you're following the commands. And then, pretty much they take your best lift out of those three that you completed, and then they add it up, and then that's your total.
So how long do these competitions last then? Because obviously you're lifting maximal, so you probably have to have some sort of recovery time in between sort of each event. So these are like a whole day event type thing.
It's funny you ask that, because that's literally the question that any competitive powerlifter or any coach, that's one of the first questions they ask. Okay. Like they go to the day before the meet, they send out the roster, like who's competing and what. And we usually email the director, like, how long do you think this is going to take? Just because that not because we don't want to be there, but because that really dictates like how we're going to go about the competition, like how we're going to prepare for it. But yeah, they can take all day. I've been to some meets that start at 9 a.m. and like by the time the awards and the presentations are all done, it's like 8 or 9 p.m. But on the flip side, I've also been on some that are a little smaller. They're a little, they run a little quicker, and they start at like 7 or 9 a.m. and then they end like at 12 or 1.
Okay.
But the average length is like, it'll start at 9 and then end at like 2 or 3.
Okay, so it's not too bad then. Not too bad. And going back to the start of the competition, obviously with strength training and maximal lifting, I'm guessing you need a good warm-up. How do you go about warming up before you head into the competition? Because you want to make sure that you're ready enough to be able to go in and lift that 90% of your max before. So how do you prepare physically before an event?
Yeah. And this is something that's changed for me so much throughout the years. Mm. I've gone back and forth so much with like, what's the most optimal recovery? What I've just learned, it's just like anything with everything that have to do with fitness. And that's just, it depends. Everybody's going to be different. I have some clients who they do need a little bit more warming up. Some people who like, they have to go on the bike, then they have to foam roll, then they have to do like their dynamic warm-ups with like their hips, their shoulders, and then they have to do like 10 warm-up sets. And then I have some clients who like, they're just always ready to go. They maybe just need like a barbell complex, which is just, they grab the 45 pound, the empty bar. They do like just shoulder press, like squats, rows, like some power clean, some deadlifts. And then they start adding like weight slowly to the bar. So it's just different for everybody. I've just found that less is more, I think. Mm. Like I used to be the person who I would spend like 40 minutes. I would get to the competition like 40 minutes beforehand to do every like stretch and dynamic warm up routine possible. I've learned that you really just need like to kind of feel what your body needs, and then just depending on what your body needs, that's what you'll do.
Yeah, no, I like that. So it's quite individual then to each person. Each person's going to need something different, as you say. And now that's really interesting. And going back to the increments and moving up, what's the biggest increment you've gone up? Do you have like a set rule where you don't go up more than like, let's say 15 at a time? Or does it just vary depending on how you're feeling at the in the moment on that day?
Yeah, it varies on the how you're feeling, and then also just the strength of the athlete too. So like I have a client who is like a 700 pound deadlifter. So for him, he could make like a jump from like 135 to 225 to 315, because that's just very, very light for him. You know, that's like a 90-pound jump. But then I have some clients who lift a lot less weight. So for them, like a 10-pound jump is like big enough. My general rule of thumb is like if you're probably under like a 400-pound squatter, like 20 to 40-pound jumps max. And then I like making the last warm-up set like 5 to 10% less than what you're going to be lifting that day.
Okay, yeah.
So if you're a four, if you're going to squat 405, your last warm-up will be like 385.
Okay. Okay, no, I like that. And how did your business start? Obviously, you got into powerlifting, and then did your business start up quite soon after that? Or was that... Yeah, how did that come about? And is it just like a personal training, or is it more like a powerlifting? You're training people up in powerlifting.
Yeah, dude, I'm so glad we're talking about this, because on my Instagram, this is what I really like to talk about. Because okay. I love talking about how just fitness is what really just taught me everything about life. Like fitness, everything that I know about life right now, I go back to fitness and like how I learned it from there, and then I apply it to life. So first, I started off just actually online coaching for free and like personal training for free for like 2 years. I ended up uploading my like 1 year transformation photo.
Yeah.
And then all like, you know, the first year, how old are you, by the way?
I'm 22.
22. So you see like after high school, like at around this point, like people start gaining weight and stuff like that.
Sure.
So all my old high school classmates, you know, the freshman 15 hit, and they saw my transformation photo. They're like, dude, I need you to help me. Like, I'm starting to gain weight. And I would just offer it for free, because I didn't like have a certification or anything like that. And I love doing it. So I started just doing it for free. Then I started having a lot of transformation photos. I started having a lot of people hit me up. I was like, I think I need to get paid for this. Sure. So I got my certification. And then I worked at the local gym. And then, after that, I decided to just take it to the next step. I was like, I didn't like the major that I was going to school for. I was going to school for a kinesiology major because I wanted to originally, I wanted to be a teacher, a professor. I really didn't know what I wanted to do. But I, at the time, I realized, dude, all I love is personal training. So at one point, I also even majored in business. So I knew a little tiny bit about business. I had a friend who had his own business, so I started asking him a lot of questions. And I just wanted to take that next step. I was like, dude, this is what I want to do. I don't know why I'm wasting my time, not only working for someone else, but going to school for something I don't like. Then I took that leap. I started my business in 2018. And since then, man, like it hasn't slowed down. Since I started as online coaching and personal training for free till now, it hasn't slowed down. It's just been like a steady increase.
Wow. And how did obviously the recent events affect you over these past couple of months? How have you found that over in the States with your business? Obviously, you've clearly probably got it online, so you probably had like a good base, but did it affect you at all, or was it pretty smooth transition?
It affected me for the better. It actually made me better. I'm just like anybody else, when the pandemic first happened, our shutdown was like right in March. Okay. Everything got shut down, all of our gyms and everything. And I was scared at first. Like there was like 2-3 days I was legit like just scared. I was like, dude, my business is gonna fail. But everybody on my clients, all of my clients, all of my team, we're like legit a team. We're like a family, we're all close friends. And I feel like they really just looked to me as like a leader, as somebody to help them get by. Because the only thing that they really had to look forward to like was the gym and fitness. I took that as a chance, as like a chance to just like level up and then just get better. And I pushed myself even more with my business, and it actually grew. It grew during the pandemic.
I love that. That's so good. But you can have like, you can have two ways. You can either let it, you know, affect you, or you can rise above it and with adversity push through and come better. And that sounds like exactly what you've done, and that's amazing. And what do you focus on, and what sort of clientele do you look for? Is it just very general, anyone that wants help, and you know, is it just body transformation, is it general PT, is it just powerlifting, is it everything?
Now I'm starting to get more into like coaching more like intermediate or advanced powerlifters. I still do like working with like the general population who's looking to make like a big weight loss transformation. Because I do like starting with people who are like fresh, like brand new, they're going to get newbie gains. Like if you're somebody who's like brand new, like if you're brand new to like fitness, like it's awesome. Like seeing me like get them from nothing to like a 300, 400 pound squat in like a year or something like that. Probably less. So I like working with a little bit of everybody. But at this point, in my training career, I do prefer to work with somebody who probably already has a good understanding for fitness. Just because I'm already really busy, and it's easier if they just kind of already like know a lot of the little tiny details.
Sure. And you said, we were discussing earlier, you love writing and reading, and how's that come into your fitness game? So you love watching sports as well, and how are you looking to bring in those sort of areas? Are you looking to, you know, maybe become an author on the side as well, as well as the powerlifting and as well as the business? How's that coming along? So you got an ebook, haven't you?
Yes. So writing is everything, man. Writing is so important. And I'm so blessed that I feel like I learned that very early on in my business.
Okay.
There was this, I actually ended up having a writing mentor. His name's John Romanello. Okay. I highly recommend that everybody looks him up. He's a genius. And I forgot how I found him. I had a friend who found him, and his page was like all filled with just amazing writing. And I realized that with his words, he could make me pay like $1,000 for like a workshop. Like one of his workshops, I literally paid $1,000 for it, worth every penny. And like, it's crazy that me, like at that point in my life, I didn't care about writing. I barely read like, but, just seeing him, like how easily convinced I could be, and influenced from just like the power of words. I was like, I gotta do this. I gotta know exactly what this guy knows. Sure. So I started reading a lot more, started working on my writing, and it's responsible for my business. If anybody looks at my Instagram page, they'll see that all of my posts, they're not, it's not just a simple piece of content with like a photo or like a how to squat video. There's like a really well thought out caption to it. And a lot of times my captions, they don't even have to do it with anything with the post. I probably made a post about squatting, and then and then the caption is about like how to get your finances in order, or how to get over a breakup or something like that. And a lot of people come to me, they tell me, dude, like this is like a tip for any personal trainer out there who's a business owner. Ask anybody who comes to you and hires you, like why they came to you. You could even use that for your podcast. And whoever listens to your podcast, ask them like, oh, why do you like listening to my podcast? What is it about it that you like? Because then you start finding out what is it that people do like, so you could get better at that. And everybody that I asked, I'm all like, yo, what made you want to hit me up at to hire me as a personal trainer as opposed to everybody else?
Sure.
And then everybody was like, dude, it just feels like when I read your captions, it feels like we're talking. It feels like you're talking to me. Like all the things that I'm thinking, like you're saying it right there. Like when you have that, when somebody says that, dude, you automatically build this connection.
Yeah.
You like there's this connection, and they already automatically have trust for you because they know this person has gone through what I've gone through. And he overcame it. So I need to look to him to see how I can overcome that.
Sure.
And reading has definitely helped with that too. One of the first books that I ever read, the first book that I think anybody should read, if you're somebody who's not into reading, because remember, I wasn't into reading at all.
Sure.
First book that you should read is called The Slight Edge. And The Slight Edge, it just teaches you about building those like small habits, and how reading something as simple as like 10 pages of a good book a day, that adds up to like 11 books a year. And when you think about it, like, so yeah, it's something like that, like 10, 11 books a year. When you think about it, like if you read that much on any subject, like you're going to get very knowledgeable on it by the end of the year.
Yeah.
And it talked about in the book, it tells this really cool stat that says that all you need to do is read 3 books on one particular subject, and you already know more than like 75 to 90% of the whole population on that subject. And really, really think about that. That's actually kind of true.
Yeah.
Like, not a lot of people read. Like,
no.
When I go to, nobody does. And if you think about it, when you're in a college campus, right, there's people who there's the group of people who major in business and all they do is read business and they know more about business than the whole campus. There's the school who studies psychology and then they know more about psychology than the whole school. But now if you think about it, if you read everything, if you read business, if you read psychology books, if you read marketing books, if you read books on like maybe learning a new language or something like that, all you need to do is read 10 pages of a book a year. And then by the end of the year, you've leveled up. You're like this brand new person. So yeah, reading and writing is super important.
Absolutely. I know. Yeah, definitely. I think it is. And, you know, reading and self-development, constantly developing yourself, because obviously as a personal trainer yourself, you're giving out a lot to people. So it's important for you to then get yourself and improve yourself. So then you can keep giving to people, because if you don't develop yourself, then you're going to run out of things. So, you know, I totally
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. Writing is super important. You'll even notice that it'll make you a better communicator. Like if you're somebody who's in a relationship, it'll be easier for you to like communicate with your partner. If you focus on writing, people will just love texting you. Like people love texting me because they say that I'm a good writer. Like I have good responses. Sure. If you're a business owner, you'll be able to communicate with your clients better. So writing is super important. Like if you think about it, like everything in life, like it kind of writing is kind of somewhat related to it. Like when you promote a product, the way they promote it is by like having some cool writing on it. Your favorite movies, the reason why they're your favorite movies is because they have good writing to it. Your favorite songs, the reason why they're your favorite songs is because the lyrics, the words, they mean something to you. Yeah. I highly recommend everybody practices their writing for sure.
Yeah, no, I agree. Absolutely. And going back to the powerlifting, you said you've competed at the nationals and obviously you've got the world event. Is that something that would interest you later down the line, or is more powerlifting a hobby now for you? Or would you love to one day maybe even get to those international powerlifting events?
Yeah, so I have actually. When I was 23 years old, I competed in IPL Worlds. That's the International Powerlifting League. And I got first place for that. Just 4 weeks ago, I competed at or 4 or 5 weeks ago, I competed at nationals. Okay. And I got second place for that.
Blimey, that's good. That's really good. And what has sport taught you over the years, and powerlifting, and now your business, all these past experiences that you've had leading up to now? What have you taken away? What have they given you that have helped you now in your life?
Oh yeah, so many things, and I'm still learning. I like to study. Even though I don't play like any other sports other than powerlifting, I still study like basketball, like the athletes from basketball or football or all of them. Cause I do think that there's a lot that you could learn. I would just say that the biggest thing that I've learned about sports, powerlifting and all that is that the work that you put in is what you will get out. If you work really hard, you will get better. And that's, it's so simple, but that's the case with anything. And you just have to be consistent with it. Whenever I study all the greats, like for basketball or football or whatever, all of them have been doing it for a long time, loving it for a long time, and working hard for a long time. Yeah. Like LeBron James started playing basketball when he was like 8 or 9 years old, and he said that he played it all the time, like all the time, and he loves it. And even to this day, he's in his mid 30s, and he still loves watching basketball. He still loves studying it. He loves going to every game. Just the other day, you know, the Lakers just won the NBA Finals. Last week. Yeah, and just
I'm a
Heat
fan. So
you're a Heat fan?
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, and then, but anyways, yeah, just a few days right after the NBA Finals, LeBron was back at his house studying the Jordan's Last Dance like documentary. Okay. He was like, he said he wasn't just watching it for entertainment. He was like, I'm studying this. Like, this is homework. Like, no wonder he keeps getting better. Like, he's found his passion. He's always working at it. So that's the thing that I learned the most is like, if you really find something you're passionate about it, man, and you work hard for it for a long time, dude, it's almost impossible not to be successful at it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, LeBron James is an amazing example. I mean, I think I saw somewhere he spent something like $1.5 million on his body a year or something crazy like that, but the guy never gets injured, and you can see the dedication and the passion is there year in, year out, because he's just constantly breaking records, and people are still doubting him, and he just keeps proving them wrong every year. And obviously, I think he fully deserves it this year. You know, what the Lakers have done is incredible, a phenomenal team, and he's a phenomenal athlete, along with the other greats, you know, in the American sports. Tom Brady, you know, he's 41, but still playing, you know, still got that passion. But, you know, the preparation and the way he just loves the game, it's, you can just see it, and that's why he's, you know, looked after himself for so long. And
And I'm so glad you brought that up about the recovery, because I just made a video about that not too long ago, about how, like, that sounds like that sounds like a lot of money. It is a lot of money too. But then I did the math. I'm like, okay, how much does LeBron get paid a year? And how much does that equate to? And then I kind of equated it out to, like, somebody who probably makes, like, an average salary, and, like, how much they would have to spend for that to be, like, the equivalent amount. And if I remember correctly, like, if it's somebody who probably makes, like, 80K a year or something like that, all you have to do is spend, like, $500 on, like, your fitness a month, and that kind of equates out to like $1 million for LeBron James, if that makes sense. And if you think about it, like, that's not that hard to do. You just have to get a gym membership, and then get like a trainer, get like your meal preps, get your supplements, maybe get some like good workout equipment. And then that pretty much like adds up to that, and then you just have to be consistent with that. And I'm all like, man, no wonder LeBron has like done well, because you would think that everybody does that, but no, everybody, when he first posted that he spends that much money, everybody in the NBA was like shocked. They were like, what? Like, he's doing that? And in my opinion, I was like, how is everybody not doing that? Why isn't all the other NBA players doing it? And I realized it's because they're like, a lot of people, they get to the NBA. Sure, they work hard, but a lot of it is talent. And a lot of it also is like they get to there and they work hard, but they don't really know what's the next level. Like, what is that other extra step that you can take? And Kobe Bryant, Jordan, LeBron, they were always looking for like that next thing that could give them that slight edge, that slight competitive edge. And that's another thing that I've learned from sports, is just like always like look to a deeper like level on things, on how you can get better. It's not always just, I feel like it's not always just so simple. There's always something new to learn.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's, if you think about it though, for those sort of people, I think it's also a mindset, and it's a mental state that these guys have. You know, when you get to something, your dream from a young boy is to get to the NBA, and they eventually get there. It's like, that's done. But for these elite guys that have this mindset, they get to the NBA, and for them, that's where the journey starts. And I think it also goes back to touching on your point, as you said, for people who want to spend sort of, you know, it's only like $500 a year or whatever that is in pounds to equate to what LeBron spends. I think it's also, as you said, finding that enjoyment. Like, you found powerlifting after, you know, you found that motivation. I think for people, it's to get into that habit, then also find that motivation, whether it's an endurance event or going into powerlifting or just general fitness or swimming or you finding a sport. So I think also it's that mental, but it's also finding your passion and your enjoyment. For me, I'm a tennis player, and I've always, that's been my enjoyment, you know, and I'm still playing it and still hopefully trying to make it eventually in the future. But I think that's
you can never go wrong with investing in yourself and investing in the things you love. When you find something that you love too, you'll do it for free. And I feel like it'll somehow always like work itself out, because when I started coaching and doing it for free, I didn't think like, oh, this will eventually help me out with my business in the future. I was just doing it because it was fun.
Sure.
And because I loved it. And then I started putting like money into it just to like get myself better. So I put a lot of money into like investing in my personal training certification. Okay. And when I actually first did my personal training certification, I really just wanted to do it just to learn more.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about like, oh, what gym am I going to apply to? What's the sales process going to be like? How am I going to get clients? I didn't think about any of that. In my mind, I was just like, I just want to do this just so I can help more people. And then also again, just to fuel more of that thing that I love. When I first got my real job, it was at like an ice cream parlor. I don't know if you guys have Cold Stone Creamery. over there?
Nine.
No. Oh, okay. It's an ice cream parlor that we have down here. And okay. I was making like minimum wage. I was making very little money. And with the little money that I was making, I wasn't using it to like party. I wasn't using it for clothes. A lot of like 18-year-olds, you know, they start going out to like bars and clubs and stuff like that. Or they start they save that money up to like go on vacations or school. Like I wasn't doing any of that. I was putting all the money back into like fitness. I was buying like these really expensive like weight belts, or I was buying like really nice like wrist straps. Everything that I was doing was going back into the thing that I loved. And then eventually I felt like that positive energy, because doing what I loved always kept like my vibration high. It always kept me happy. Even when I didn't have anything, I was always happy. Even when I would get in a relationship that didn't work out, like it never knocked me down so much that people would see like me sad. Yeah. And it wasn't because I was like trying to hide the fact that I was sad. It's just that no matter what, I could always go back to doing that thing that I love, fitness, powerlifting. And all that positivity, I felt like it all it did was bring more positivity to my world. And that's why I said, man, yeah, you can never, I always tell, don't feel bad like investing money into the thing that you love. Put all your money into it. It'll all come back.
Absolutely. And going back to your 18-year-old self, knowing everything you know now, what would you say now to your 18-year-old self, Juan? What would you say to him?
I would just say, just keep doing what you love. You're on the right path. That's all I would say. I wouldn't say anything that could change the course of how things played itself out. I feel like everything played itself out the way it was supposed to. And one that's back to the writing too. This is another thing that I love about writing, is that when you start writing a lot, you kind of put yourself in this like storyteller mindset.
Yeah.
And when you put yourself in this storyteller mindset, you look back on your life and you think, wow, like everything worked itself out. All of these pieces align themselves together so perfectly to lead me here to where I am today.
Yes.
So you really feel like, wow, like I am here on this earth for a purpose. Like all of this was almost feels like it was destined. So yeah, man, I would tell myself that. Anything but that. I would just say, keep going. You're doing fine.
I love it. I love that. That's awesome. So what does the future hold? Where are you looking now in the next sort of year to 2 years now? Where does your direction for your powerlifting, your business, what's in the works? What have you got planned?
Yeah. So I don't even think about that so much anymore, to be honest, like the year or 2 years from now, just because I change so much. Like things, if you would have asked me this about a year ago, I would have said, oh, my goal is to open up a gym one day. Now I don't even know if that's so much of like a big goal of mine. I don't know if that will bring me a lot of happiness. I do know that I think in the remainder of the year, I just want to make sure that a lot of my athletes who came to me saying that they wanted to break records, I help them break those records. All of my clients who I'm working with right now, I just want to get them to their goals in the near future. I just want to continue to grow and learn as a person, constantly just like, know more about fitness, about life. That's pretty much it. That's where I want to see myself in the next year or two. I feel like 2 years, I can't even look that far because I'll change so much. Who knows what I'll want. I have plans like where I would like to be. Hopefully I could have moved into like a bigger house or something like that. Hopefully my business has grown, but I don't really get into thinking about that too much down the line.
Sure. So you're sort of more of in the present at the moment and just sort of enjoying the now rather than worrying about, and you just feel that.
I think that's exactly what I told you too. Before we started, I was like, yeah, one thing that I really talk about a lot is just focusing on the present moment. Because it's really all that just matters. I read in this book that said, people think that riches and proving others wrong and like having all these nice things come to you is what's the definition of success. But those are just byproducts of success. In its essence, that is not success. Success is just making the present moment the highest quality that you can, just making the right decision in the present moment. Because think about it. Let's say I work hard and I help all my clients get all the records, and then I move into a nicer house. But let's say in the process, I ended up neglecting my family. I lost my health. And I became a very bitter person. Is that really successful? Like, I don't think so. So all you can really do to be successful is just make the right decision in the present moment. Right now, the present moment is we have a podcast, and we have to make sure that we give high quality information to the listeners. Sure. When the next moment comes, we'll make the right decision in the next moment. And that's really all that we ever have.
Yeah, and no, I agree. I think also another thing is balancing as well, having a balance of work, family, social, whatever it is, that right balance to make sure that, you know, when you do become successful, there's not an unbalance, there's not too much work and neglecting the family, and it's not too much family. So it's about finding that balance and you know, making sure that when you do become successful, you are happy with everything and everything's, you know, in balance. And
And there's this book that I recommend everybody reads. It's called The One Thing. Okay. And it talks about how to find that perfect balance. And the perfect balance is actually going in periods of imbalance. So you'll have some moments where you're just going to grind really, really hard. And you grinding really hard, like maybe on your business, that means you're going to have to probably spend less time going out with friends on the weekends, right? Sure. But then after that, you go back in a period of another period of imbalance where, hey, now you're enjoying life. Now we could let the business kind of like just maintain. Let's go out there and enjoy life a little bit. Let's spend time with more of our family members. Sure. And after that, you go back into that other, and then you keep going back and forth. I've found that is the most optimal way for me personally. Gary Vaynerchuk, I remember he once said, if you guys are familiar with Gary Vee, nobody's familiar with Gary Vee on here. You guys got to look him up. Said that you can become very successful very quickly. Put in like 80 hours, 100 hours a week of work, and sure, you'll get very, very successful very fast. But you also, with that, it's going to require a lot of sacrifice. You're not going to be able to have family time. You're not going to be able to have any of that. Yeah. Or you could choose to maybe slow down, like not put in so much work. Your business will grow very, very slow. You'll be able to have that social life. You'll be able to go out with friends and hang out with family. But if you do that, you have to be okay with the fact that your business is going to be slower. So yeah, there's a lot of different ways of kind of finding that balance. I think just going in those moments of imbalance, that's personally what keeps me happy. I get to see my business grow really fast, and then I get to kind of just relax and like do my thing for a little while, and then I just keep going back and forth.
Love it. No, I love it. Mm-hmm. Well, before we wrap up and before we do a quick fire round, how can my listeners follow you on social media and stuff like that?
Yeah, so everybody follow me just on my Instagram. It's the_chosenjuan1. And if you want to be subscribed to my newsletter, my email list, where I send a lot of good content on there too. You just go on the link tree that I have in my Instagram, and then it'll say free ebook. And then you just go on there, you send your email address, you'll get the free ebook. It's a eating out while dieting guide. It's just a little 10-page guide that just teaches you how to lose weight while still going out to eat to your favorite restaurants every now and then, having that social life. And then you'll automatically also be placed in my newsletter where I give a lot of good information. That's pretty much the only place that I'm at is Instagram.
Perfect. Awesome. Brilliant. Well, guys, go and follow him. He's got a great page and some great content on there. And definitely go and give him a follow and definitely sign up to his newsletter for some great content tips and helpful fitness tips as well. So just to wrap up, we'll do a little quick fire round. You up for that?
Yep, let's do it.
Okay, awesome. Okay, so question one is milk or dark chocolate?
Milk.
Okay, nice. Number two is, if you could live in another decade or era, which one would it be?
Ooh, it has to be in the past.
Anyone?
I would say 90s, like be just born a little earlier in the 90s. I'd like to see a lot more of the Bulls in the Jordan time. I would have liked to have lived during that decade. That was a really cool time.
Okay. No, I like that. No, fair enough. Okay. So you're hosting a dinner party and you can have three people dead or alive at your dinner table. Who would be at your table?
Okay. Dang. Dead or alive. Okay. I would have Gary Vaynerchuk. He's a very, very smart entrepreneur, business owner. I would also have Jay-Z. Yep. Jay-Z, yeah, super smart. I'd like to just pick his brain, get to know more about like business side of things from him too. And then I want to pick another. I don't want to pick another musician, but I think I might have to. I think I'm going to say with J. Cole. He's another very popular rapper. He's just super deep, man. Like everything that I'd have so many dang questions for him about life that I'd want to hear from him. So yeah, those are my three people.
Okay, love it. Awesome. Nice. Good table. So Juan, the movie is coming out. Who portrays Juan in your film?
Oh man, I don't know if there is anybody that could. That's a good question. You know, he wouldn't even be anything like me. Like he's nothing like me, but I feel like he's the closest person that comes to me Tom Holland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, only because, man, like he's like in his mid-20s, but he has like this baby face. He could still play a high school character. Yep. And that's the same thing with me. I'm 26 years old, but I feel like I could still kind of be confused for like a high school person and stuff like that.
Okay.
And yeah, just like when he played Spider-Man, he really reminded me a lot about myself. Just that like dorky, like skinny kid who's still trying to find himself. Sure. If he could somehow do that and then maybe add like a Hispanic accent, that would be pretty cool.
Like it. Nice. That's awesome. No, I like that. So what are your favorite TV shows, past or present?
Okay. Favorite TV shows. I always talk about stuff like this. So my top three favorite TV shows is number one is Boy Meets World. If anybody ever remembers that, dude, TV show like raised me. I didn't have any brothers or sisters. I didn't have a lot of friends like very early on in my life. And my parents were always like out and about. So like they're working so many jobs. So I feel like I learned so much about life from Boy Meets World. Like that show just, yeah, like I learned so much about it. Number two is The Office.
Okay.
The US version with Steve Carell.
Yep.
Hilarious, man. And the writing on that show is incredible, dude. That's like a 10 out of 10 show for sure. And then even when Steve Carell left, or do you watch The Office?
Yeah. I've never actually seen it, no. But I'm familiar. Okay. I've seen clips, but I've never actually watched it all fully through.
Yeah, very, very popular here in the States. What's really cool about it is they have this main character on there. His name's Michael Scott, played by Steve Carell. He was the main character of that show. He's like the reason why that show got good. And in like the second to last season, I think they went 9 seasons or something like that. I think on the 7th season, he left. They just wrote him off the show because he decided to like pursue movies and stuff like that. And everybody was like, dude, this show is going to be terrible without him. But the show actually was still really, really good, even without him. And I think I really noticed they really stepped up like the writing and like the stories got better. So that's like to do that, like to have your main character like leave and the show still be good, dude, like to the writers, like hats off to them.
Sure.
And then number three is a show called Prison Break. It's a really, really good show. Just like the season, it has like 5 seasons. I think they just came out with like new seasons too, but it was a show from like the early 2000s. I didn't really get into it until like 5 years ago. I was just bored on Netflix. And season one, man, it's one of the best seasons of a TV show that I have ever seen. Like the suspense and like how they develop each character and how they make you really just like love each and every single character on that show. Even the bad characters on that show, like the people who are like bad people, like, even though they've committed like terrible crimes, you even care for them. To do that is like so, so tough. And then just to make every episode like good when all they're limited to is being stuck in this prison. Ah, man. Yeah. Those are my top three favorite TV shows.
I love it. And last one to wrap up, and this will be interesting as you are a big music person. What are your top three songs on your playlist at the moment?
At the moment? Let me get my phone. So it's number one is, The Lion King on Ice.
Okay.
Lion King on Ice. It's by J. Cole and it's some of J. Cole's, Lion King on Ice. It's one of J. Cole's newest songs. Okay. And when I heard that, man, it motivated me as like a writer and as a business owner, as a person, because this is usually, J. Cole has been out for like 10 years now. Like, he's been really popular for 10 years. Rarely does any artist like stay on top of the game that long. And when they do, they usually start falling off. He wrote this and it was just like amazing writing. I was like, dude, this guy's getting better. It's like, this guy is good right now. So yeah, that's number one. Number two is, I'm probably gonna get some hate from this, but it's a Kanye West song with Kid Cudi. It's called, let me look it up. It's called Ghost Town by Kid Cudi and Kanye West. Okay. Super, super good, like, musical production. I listen to that when I'm in the gym.
Okay.
On the way to the gym.
Okay.
And then the third song, I've just been finding myself like going back to this song a lot, even though it's a little older. It's by Drake. It's called Tuscan Leather.
Okay.
It's the intro of his second album, and it gets me very nostalgic. Like, I remember when I first heard this song. It was 2013, and I was on the way to the gym. The album just came out, and it felt like the chapter of like my second life. Okay. Like, my first life was like everything leading up to high school, and then adulthood was like everything after that.
Yeah.
And like that song came out like right like when I started like my first semester at college. So whenever I listen to that song, I just think to myself, like, dang, man, look how far you've come from that. And I've just kind of been in that like nostalgic mood. So yeah, those are my top three songs on my playlist right now.
Love that. That's awesome. No, brilliant. Well, before we finish, just want to say again, massive thank you for coming on and for sharing everything and for, you know, being part of the Reborn Fitness podcast. Appreciate you, and what you're doing is awesome. Keep doing it. Keep grinding. Keep working hard. And I'll be keeping an eye out on Instagram, and let's keep in touch. But, you know, thank you again for sharing everything.
My pleasure, man. Yeah, good luck with your podcast too. So I had a lot of fun. I've done a couple podcasts before. I would say you've definitely asked like some of the best questions so far.
I appreciate that. That's really kind. Thank you. That's really kind. I appreciate that. And just to finish off, I'll just give you the floor to tell our listeners your biggest piece of advice.
My biggest piece of advice for everybody is to just try to get a little bit better every day. And you probably don't even need as much as you might think. Read 10 pages of a book a day. Watch an educational YouTube video, just one educational YouTube video. Go to the gym. If you don't want to go to the gym, just go for a 10-minute walk. Have a good conversation with someone. Do the smallest thing that you can every day. Save an extra dollar here and there. Don't go to that fast food restaurant that day. Save those extra $5 that you would have got on like a cheeseburger. Just take advantage of every single day. Don't take for granted how blessed you are to live in this day and time, and just be living in general. So yeah, that's my message.
Love that. Brilliant. Well, Juan, thank you so much again for everything and for sharing, and appreciate you, and best of luck with everything, and best of luck for the rest of the year. And I hope it's a prosperous one and an awesome one too.
Likewise, man. Likewise.
Brilliant. Appreciate that. Well, guys, there you go. That's it. Juan Salgado there, really appreciate him from California. Great advice. And go and hit him up on Instagram. As you know, he said his profile, so listen to that. But that's it. That's the penultimate episode of Series 4 in the books. So hope you enjoyed that, and have a great rest of the week. And I'll see you all next week for the final episode of the Reborn Fitness podcast. But until then, from me and from Juan, thank you very much for listening, and see you all soon.